There is absolutely no question about it. You are listening to The Swing Era. I'm your host, Bud Pearson, and I would welcome any comments or requests. Just email us. Our address is swingera@earthlink.net. That's swingera@earthlink.net. Great swing-era saxophones, just up the tenor of Dick Wilson, a guy the swing era forgot. Dick never got the recognition he deserved. Heard here with the October 1938 Andy Kirk Orchestra swinging his way through Jump, Jack, Jump. Kirk had a fine band with the piano of Mary Lou Williams and the trumpet of Earl Thompson heard from. The forgotten tenor of Dick Wilson. And kicking off the second half of the swing era, still another forgotten tenor, that of Henry Bridges. Henry doing a great job with Tad Dameron's composition and arrangement titled Ala Bridges, a July 1940 Bluebird recording with the orchestra of Harlan Leonard on Great Saxophones of the Swing Era.
Someone you've met has made you forget. You know you can count on me. I wish you success, loads of happiness. But I must confess, I'll be lonely, I'll be lonely, I'll be lonely. If you need a friend, I'm yours until the end. You know you can count on me. Thank you.
Just heard the unmistakable alto of Johnny Hodges with a rather obscure Duke Ellington composition and arrangement of Mood to be Wooed, recorded by the January 1945 Ellington Orchestra, with, of course, the piano of Duke. And at the top, who else? The one and only Prez, Lester Young with a bassy small group, and Jimmy Rushing singing You Can Depend on Me, from February 1939. The trumpet was Shad Collins, and the All-American Rhythm Section, of course, was Count Basie's piano, Walter Page's bass, Freddie Green's guitar, and Papa Joe Jones' drums. Lester Young and his remarkable tenor saxophone, and you heard it on the Swing Era. Last set on the Swing Era.
Mm-hmm.
Long overdue on the Swing Era, just heard Duke Ellington's composition and arrangement of Cottontail, a great workout for Ben Webster's tenor. Also of note, the swinging sax section chorus, which has now become a composition in itself, the tenor sax of Ben Webster. And before that, the tenor of Swing Era veteran Coleman Hawkins with his December 1943 performance of My Ideal. Hawk was accompanied by Leonard Feather's Esquire All-Stars. The piano was Art Tatum. Coleman Hawkins, tenor sax. And starting the last set, Benny Carter's alto sax and orchestra, heard on his November 1940 Bluebird recording of Taken My Time. The trumpet was Sidney DeParis and the trombone, Benny Morton. Benny Carter's great alto saxophone on the Swing Era. To take us out, the tenor of Charlie Barnett. So many records and so little time, but we'll be back with another stack of wax from the Record Vault next week. Till then, this is your host, Bud Pearson, hoping you've enjoyed the great swing-era saxophones. If you did, join us here next week when we'll present more artists who created the styles and the sounds of the swing era. We'll see you then, and remember, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District, home of the Sequoia High School Cherokees, online at kcea.org.
Entertain us. I long return. radio. I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll enjoy old-fashioned crime busting with gangbusters. But first, on the lighter side, let's enjoy some comedic time with Abbott and Costello. Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, remembered primarily as a movie team, got their first shove toward stardom in radio and stayed with the medium through the 1940s when their fame as film comics was at its height. Their own regular show was first heard on NBC in October of 1942, continuing for 5 years. Abbott and Costello's radio program supplemented such films as Buck Privates, In the Navy, and Hold That Ghost to keep their names consistently at the top of the zany comic heap. Many of their skits were often extensions of the routines they'd used in vaudeville. The famous baseball spoof, Who's On First, for example, was developed for a live audience and especially adaptable for radio. While the pair's radio program only lasted 5 years, they continued making appearances on other radio shows until the team finally broke up in the 1950s. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Abbott and Costello in At the Circus with special guest star Alan Hale from March of 1943. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
Abbott and Costello program. Listen to the music of Freddie Rich and his orchestra, the songs of Connie Haynes. Tonight's guests, Sally Eilers and Alan Hale, Warner Brothers star of Adventures of Mark Twain, and starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
What's all the excitement?
Oh, Abbott, the big circus just came to town, and I've been out watching the parade. What a parade! First came the elephants, after them come the clowns, and after the clowns came the beautiful Lady Godiva on a big white horse.
What? Woo! Wait a minute, Al. What came after Lady Godiva?
Me and every sailor in California.
Oh. Costello, aren't you a little old to be following parades?
Oh, not me, Abbott. I'm crazy about circus parades. I love those big elephants. Whoa, some people like to be firemen and squirt water through their nose, but I like to be an elephant and squirt water through my nose. Unquote.
All right, never mind. Look, never mind the circus.
Boy, get that late.
All right, never mind the circus. Look, never mind the circus. We have other things to do.
Oh, yes. Yes, but I can't forget about the circus, Abbott. I come from a family of circus people. My Uncle Rollo was the world's greatest tightrope walker.
Yes.
Until he broke his neck.
Well, how did he break his neck?
One night he was tight and the rope wasn't. Zip! Neck! Crack!
Oh, I see.
Then I had another uncle. He was 6 feet tall. He used to stick his head in the lion's mouth.
What's his name?
Now we call him Shorty.
No. All right, Costello, I've heard enough. Let's change the subject.
Oh, Abbott, you're talking about the happiest days of my life. What fun I used to have in a sideshow. I always used to tickle the tattooed lady with a feather.
You tickled the tattooed lady? What for?
To see moving pictures.
The moving pictures.
But she finally had to leave the circus, Abbott.
You mean the tattooed lady quit?
No, she had her face lifted and it threw all the pictures out of focus.
Costello, now don't try to kid me. I don't believe you were ever near a circus.
Oh, yeah? Well, here's a picture of me taken with a Ubangi girl.
Let me see it. Wait a minute. I see the Ubangi girl, but I don't see you.
I'm sitting in the shade of her lower lip.
Oh. Look, Costello, Just what did you do at the circus?
I used to train the wild zebras.
You trained wild zebras?
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't make me laugh. You don't even know what a zebra is.
Oh, don't. A zebra is a black horse with Venetian blinds.
Well, hello, fellas.
Oh, it's Ken Niles.
What's cooking, boys?
Nothing's cooking, Niles. You brought that aroma in with you.
No. I'll cut that out. Say, Ken, Costello was just telling me that there's a circus in town. Did you see the parade?
Indeed I did, Bud. I know all about that circus. In fact, my lovely wife helped bring the circus to Hollywood.
What did she do, pull one of the wagons?
Now, look here, Costello. You can't compare my wife to a horse.
You're right. Her ears are too long.
Costello, will you be quiet? What did you mean, Ken, about your wife bringing the circus to town?
Well, Bud, my wife is co-chairman of the big Hollywood benefit carnival and circus.
Mm-hmm.
She's been up every night preparing for this big carnival. That's why she has those little crow's feet under her eyes.
Little crow's feet? Brother, those crows must have been wearing baseball shoes.
Oh, I heard that remark, you overgrown hippopotamus.
I said it for you to hear, yes.
Take it easy, Costello.
What are you wearing?
Never mind.
There's an army man outside who wants to talk to you.
An army man? What does he want?
He wants you to replace a tank for active duty.
Now, do you see what you started, Costello? Always fighting. Nobody will like you.
Oh, I don't worry about that, Abbott. I'm the kind of guy that grows on people.
The only trouble is, Costello, a little too much of you grew on you.
Oh, you sure stole him that time?
Yeah, you kill you, don't you?
Oh, darling, you're wonderful. To me, you're the only woman in the world.
Oh, and Kenneth, my love, you're the only man in the world.
And you're the only woman in the world.
Oh, and you're the only man in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just been listening to Adam and Eve.
Oh, stop it, please, Costello. Mrs. Niles, Ken was just telling us that you're co-chairman of the Hollywood Benefit Carnival.
That's right, Mr. Abbott, and I'm asking all the movie stars to donate their services.
Well, I don't know exactly what I can do, Mrs. Niles, but Costello here was just telling me that he used to be with a circus.
Costello with a circus?
Uh-huh.
What cage was he in?
What cage was I in? I was in there with the little... I wasn't in any case, kid. I used to manage somebody. I used to manage the great Minestrone. He was the greatest high diver in the world. I didn't know I had to continue. He used to dive 500 feet from the top of the tent into a pail of water.
Dive 500 feet into a pail of water? Nobody can do that.
He did it once.
Never mind what he did. Look, Costello, never mind what he did. What can you do in this circus? For example, are you an equestrian?
I'm an American.
No, Costello. Now, how would you like to ride bareback?
What, in front of all those people?
Listen, you dummy, do you know anything about trick riding?
Oh, you mean, am I an equestrian?
Well,
that's different, Abbott. I'm the best trick rider you ever saw.
You are?
One time in a circus, I rode two horses standing up. One foot on one horse, and the other foot on the other horse.
And what happened?
Suddenly an elephant came between us. One horse went one way, the other horse went the other way.
I'll bet that was a laugh.
Laugh? I thought I'd split.
Shut up!
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Freddie Rich and the orchestra answer many requests for Speak Low. Thank you.
way for the big benefit circus show. Get your tickets right
over. Miss Michaela, she's Casey Quivers. Move every muscle for 10 cents.
And right over here, we have Jojo, the dog face boy. Hey, you, fat man. Step over and see Jojo, the dog face boy, for
a hey, I wouldn't pay a quarter to see a dog face boy.
Say, ain't you Lou Costello?
Oh, yeah.
You can go in for nothing.
What?
Courtesy to all freaks.
Never mind him. Come on, Costello. We're expected at the manager's office. Mrs. Niles told her we'd be here. Wait a minute. Oh, here it is. Pardon me, miss. We'd like to, Say, Costello, look who it is. Sally Eilers.
Gee, hello, Sally. My name's Lou Costello.
Oh, don't bother about that. Can happen to anybody. You fellows are just in time. The show's about to go on, and our lion tamer quit.
Costello, do you know anything about lions?
Do I know anything about lions? Of course I know a lot of things about lions. One time I went lion hunting in Africa with my brother, and I brought back a stuffed lion.
What was the lion stuffed with?
My brother. And another thing, kid, you ain't getting me in a cage with no lion.
Oh, but you don't have to be afraid of this lion. He was raised on milk.
So was I, but I eat meat now. When I can get it.
Oh, but this lion hasn't any teeth.
I know, but he could gum me to pieces.
But, Costello, this circus is for charity. You mean you won't go into that lion cage?
No. Why should I risk you, security, and beauty?
Well, perhaps lion taming is too dangerous. However, you can help at one of the concessions. Come over here with me. Now, walk this way.
I can't walk that way.
Why not?
You're wearing high heels.
All right. Shut up, will you please? We find out what's going on around here. Now, what do you want us to do over here, Sally?
Well, Bud, you and I will stand out at the counter and sell these baseballs. And Costello, you stick your head through that hole in the canvas.
And what am I going to see through that hole?
Well, you might see some big stars.
You mean like Ginger Rogers and Lana Turner?
Oh, no, no, no. More like Jupiter and Mars.
What studio do they work for? I know that Hedy Lamarr's, but that Jupiter...
Nah,
I don't know.
I know, but don't be stupid. Go ahead now. Come on, be a nice little boy. Stick your head through that canvas. That a boy. That's fine.
All right, folks, step right up. Three balls per dime. Hit the little boy on the head.
Come on, folks,
three
step
balls
right up.
Per dime. Step right up.
Step right up. Hit the little boy on the head.
That's the spirit.
Step right up.
Step right up.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hit what boy on what head? And with what ball?
We're talking about you, Costello.
Yes. The people throw these baseballs at your head. If they hit you, they get a box of candy.
I get a box of aspirins.
No.
That first word was funny, wasn't it?
Listen. You know what you do, Lou? When you see the ball coming, you duck.
Yeah, but suppose I forget to duck.
Oh, we've taken care of that. We furnish you with a safety cap. If the ball hits you, it bounces off the cap.
Yes, ma'am. But did you ever take into consideration what makes the little ball bounce off the little cat?
My head! I quit! Quit!
No.
Quit!
Don't be silly. Lou, you can't get hurt.
Oh, no? What happened to the guy who had this job before I took it?
Oh, here he comes now. Step aside and let the stretcher by.
Stretcher? Stretcher? Hey, Abbott, I'm going to ask this guy on a stretcher a question. Hey, buddy, did those baseballs hurt you? How does your little head feel?
Oh, my little head feels fine.
Oh, good.
In fact, I feel absolutely normal.
Oh, that's so nice.
I'm so glad you came to see me, Miss Lamarr.
Miss Lamarr! That's all I want to know, brother. Let me out of here!
Now, don't be such a coward, Costello. Put your head back in that hole, and I'll throw a few practice balls. Get ready now. Now, here comes the first one. Costello, get up. Get up off your knees and stop playing with those marbles.
What marbles? I'm picking up my teeth. Miss Eilers, would you mind stepping back, please? You are standing on the tooth that I use for my essence.
This is for charity. Now, go ahead, Bud. Throw another ball. It'll attract the crowd.
Abbott.
Now, what's the matter?
Why aren't the sirens blowing?
Why should the sirens blow?
There's a blackout!
Oh, Costello, did he really hit you?
Did he hit me? With this slip on my head, a haircut will cost me double.
I ain't taking this job, Sally. Get another boy!
Well, that's a fine thing. It's a fine thing coming from you, Costello. This is a benefit and for charity.
and they need a hard-headed man like you, and you want to crawl out from under. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Guess I'm an ingrate.
I'll say you are. You could make hundreds of people happy. Think of the fun they could have throwing baseballs at your head. But no. You're selfish. You want to quit and spoil their pleasure.
I'm sorry. I'm a regular killjoy.
Yes, you are a killjoy. Think of the mothers and fathers who bring their little kitties, little teeny-weeny kitties down here to laugh at you getting hit on the head. But do you care about the kitties? Do you care about the little teeny-weeny kitties? No. No, not you.
I'm always thinking of myself.
Well, I'll say you are.
Oh, I'm a bad boy! Hey, Abbott, please don't tell my scoutmaster on me.
Well, I should.
Oh, please don't. If you do, he won't take me to see the La Brea Tar Pits.
Oh, Sally! Sally!
Oh, it's Mrs. Niles.
Oh, Sally, my dear, I just came from the main tent. The wrestling match is about to start and something terrible's happened.
What's the matter? Did you forget to put out the tights? You forget to forget your tights or something?
What kind of typing is this?
Nothing of the sort. We arranged for a professional wrestler to take all comers, and he's broken his arm. We must get a substitute immediately. Someone with stamina, strength, and courage.
And that man is Lou Costello.
Oh. Yes, that man is... Cut it out, Abbott. I ain't gonna wrestle. My brother was a wrestler, and he got a terrible cauliflower ear.
Oh, that's nothing. Lots of people have cauliflower ears.
Yeah, but his is cream.
Wait a minute. I've got an idea. Look, Lou... They'll announce you wrestle anybody. Then I'll jump into the ring first, and we'll pretend to wrestle. That's all there is to it.
I got a better idea, Abbott. Why can't I wrestle Sally Eilers?
Oh, but Lou, that's silly. Boys don't wrestle with girls.
Oh, she's so young.
Get out of here!
And now here's Connie Haynes to sing a brand new song. For the first time on the air, listen to Saltwater Cowboy.
Who is that great, big, wonderful man? Wearing that fine coat of tan? He's a saltwater cowboy with the whole world for his range. Just a saltwater cowboy and the herd he rides his train. He's a rounding up his country folks wherever they may be. He's a saltwater cowboy, a United States Marine. Get along, little Nippy, I can hear my singing pal. I'm taking you to pasture in a barbed wire corral. He's the soul of the earth, boy, and he's long and black and lean. He's the saltwater cowboy, United States Marine. Get along, Silky Yaki, drag the man from the golden way. I'm gonna brand your pocket with a star stripe U.S. Oh, you don't have to worry, he will keep your patches green. He's a saltwater cowboy, a United States Marine.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
All right, Costello, the tent is filling up. Are you all dressed for the wrestling match with me?
Yes, I'm all ready, Abbott. How do I look in these wrestling trunks?
Wait a minute, what kind of trunks are those? What's that writing across the seat?
Oh, that lights up, Abbott.
And what does it say?
Come to Joe's for dinner. What a spread.
All right. Let's get out there. The crowd's waiting.
Hey, look, Abbott, remember one thing. When they call for volunteers to wrestle me, be sure you're the first one to get in the ring. There's some pretty tough guys out there. I don't want to wrestle any one of them swing shift workers.
Why not?
Because when they swing, I might not shift.
You wait here in the locker room, Costello. I'll see if they're ready.
Oh, Bud Abbott, I've got some wonderful news for you. We've got a great opponent for Costello to wrestle. I want you to meet Alan Hale.
Well, hello, Bud. Where's that little meatball partner of yours? I want to bounce him around a little.
wait a minute, Alan. Costello expects to wrestle me.
Oh, no. He's my pigeon. I'm collecting waste fat.
Gee, Alan, I don't think Costello's in good shape.
Oh, don't worry. I'll straighten him out. I think I'll go in and take a look at the body. But don't let on that I'm wrestling him. I want it to come as a pleasant surprise.
Oh, Lou, a friend of yours wants to say hello to you. Alan Hale.
Oh, hello, Alan, old boy. Did you come over here to watch me wrestle?
Watch you? Why, Costello, I want you to feel that I'll be in there with you every minute. And tell me, Costello, have you ever had any wrestling experience?
Oh, sure. One time I wrestled a champion of an African tribe.
You bangy?
Yeah, and he bangied me right back. He uppercutted me.
Boys, now we can't stay in the locker room. The crowd's waiting.
Okay, Sally. And don't worry, Abbott. I won't hurt you one bit.
That's right, Abbott. He won't lay a hand on you.
I don't know what I'm laughing at. But after all, he is our guest star.
Well, let's go, Costello. Into the ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, the main match of the evening. In this corner, at 205 pounds, Lou Canvasback Costello. And in the other corner, the challenger at 493 pounds.
493 pounds? Hey, Abbott. Ha! They're trying to make you look good, Abbott.
The Warner Brothers star of The Adventures of Mark Twain, Mr. Alan Hale!
Alan Hale? Alan Hale? Abbott, when did you change your name? When did you start working for Warner Brothers instead of Universal? When are you making the pictures of The Adventures of Mark Twain? What's the matter? Are we together? Why, they're framing me. Hale, I'm supposed to wrestle you. Abbott? Or somebody?
No matter who you're supposed to wrestle, Abbott's no match for you. He's certainly no match for you. Come on now, Costello. I'm going to slam you on that canvas, step on your gizzard, and hit you on the head so hard you'll be wearing your socks for a turtleneck sweater.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And furthermore, I think you can do it.
Come, boys. Let's get on with this wrestling match. I'm the referee. And as the referee, there's one thing I insist on, a clean fight. I want a clean fight.
And I want a clean fight.
Then why don't you two guys fight? I get kind of dirty.
Quiet, Costello. Pay attention to the referee.
There's another thing. As the referee, I am not interested in either one of you. I am playing no favorites. No favorites. You understand that, Costello?
Yes, sir.
And do you understand that, Mr. Hale?
Yeah, Charlie. And tell your sister I'll be over at 9 o'clock.
Wait a minute, Abbott. Hale goes out with the referee's sister. I'm getting out of here!
Get back there, Costello. Now, remember, at the bell, shake hands.
I don't have to shake hands. Mine are shaking already.
Be a sport, Costello. Stick out your hand.
Okay. My hand. Alan, my hand. Well, I can always use it for a fly swatter.
All right, boys, at the bell, start to wrestle. Remember, one fall takes all.
Costello, get in there and put up a great fight.
Stop the match! Stop the match!
We haven't started yet.
I know, but I'm winded.
Let's go, Costello. I'll mop up the floor with you.
Oh, yeah? Let me tell you something, Hale. You show me a tough guy and I'll show you a coward.
Well, I'm a tough guy.
Well, I'm a coward.
Get ready now, Costello. Here's a toe hold.
Here's a leg hold.
Here's a headlock.
Here's a hammerlock.
Here's your arm.
Thanks.
Come on, Costello. You're putting up a terrific fight.
Oh, my nose! My nose! Hale, you flattened my nose! How will I smell?
Shall I tell him?
Keep going, Costello. Keep going. Get in there.
Hey, Abbott, I think I've got him worried. He's afraid.
Well, what do you mean he's afraid?
He's afraid he's going to kill me.
Get set, Costello. I'm going to give you a body slam.
Wait a minute. Hey.
Please, stay down there. Don't keep jumping up.
Who's jumping up? I'm bouncing.
Hey, Abbott, throw in the towel. Throw in the towel right now.
Why now?
I don't think I'll be around this way again.
Don't worry, Costello. And now I got a little something that'll settle this whole match. See if you like this airplane spin.
You ain't got no pilot's license, Hale. Let me go.
Here you go. Way, way up in the air.
Wait a second. Put me down, Hale. Put me down.
It's round and round and round you go.
And where I come out, and nobody knows.
Costello. Get up. The crowd's waiting for you to get back into the ring. Get out from under those seats.
Abbott, I'm not going into that ring.
You're not. You're talking like a coward. Where's your backbone?
Yeah, Costello. Where's your backbone?
I don't know where it is, and I'm not going back in there till I find it.
Abbott and Costello will be back in just a moment.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear.
And now, here's Abbott with a final word.
Thanks, Ken. Well, Costello, you certainly made a fool of yourself tonight. I want you to be very careful next week with Linda Darnell.
Why, Abbott?
Well, you know, Linda used to be in the circus business and the mind-reading act in vaudeville. She can read your mind.
She can't read my mind, brother. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, hello, Linda. Abbott. Linda Darnell.
No.
Hello, Linda. What do you know? Oh.
Well, Costello, did Linda read your mind?
She must have. It's the first time I ever got slapped over the phone.
Oh. Good night, folks. Good night, neighbors.
Be sure to tune in next week for another great Abbott and Costello show with Freddie Rich and his orchestra and our special guest, Miss Linda Darnell. And remember, get Camels for more flavor. If you're looking for a cigarette that won't go flat no matter how many you smoke, get Camels for more flavor. This is Ken Niles wishing you a very pleasant good night from Hollywood.
From March of 1943, it's been Bud Abbott and Lou Costello in At the Circus with special guest star Alan Hale. In a moment, Gangbusters and the Golf Course Murder as Yesteryear continues.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Gangbusters grew out of an earlier show called G-Men, which was first heard on NBC for Chevrolet in July of 1935. This best remembered of all police programs came about in the summer of 35 when Phillips Lord talked to NBC about developing a thoroughly authoritative pilot series regarding the government's war against crime. Lord sold the idea to Chevrolet, then flew to Washington to gather official blessings from J. Edgar Hoover, then head of the FBI. Hoover agreed to let Lord use FBI files on closed cases, provided the Bureau could review the scripts, and the new series was off and running. The clues element became one of the most successful aspects of the show. After each play, nationwide alarms were broadcast for actual criminals wanted by police or FBI agents. Fine details of the criminal's appearance, with special emphasis on scars and distinguishing marks, helped capture some 110 wanted men in the first 3 years of the series. In 1948, Gangbusters switched to CBS for General Foods, which carried it on Saturdays until 1953, and then it continued sustained on Saturdays on CBS from 1953 through 1955. Gangbusters was last heard on Mutual in the 1955 through 57 season. Return with us now to sometime in the 1950s for Gangbusters and the Golf Course Murder, another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Gangbusters! Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
Tonight, Gangbusters presents the case of the golf course.
until a strand of hair and a woman's ring put an end to the grisly game.
Gangbusters has asked the Honorable John J. Sullivan, former Deputy Commissioner and Chief of Detectives of the New York City Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Chief Sullivan, you've told me tonight's case was a murder mystery.
Well, Don Gardner, it was. But I think it would be best if we follow this gang of dangerous criminals through every move, and then see what the police did with the facts as they turned up in the course of investigation.
All right, Chief Sullivan, go right ahead.
Thank you, Don. Suppose we begin a little more than a year ago in the Astoria section of New York City on a dark, rainy night. A lone man had parked his car at the curb in front of an old frame house. He walked up on the porch, looked through the lighted window, then rang the doorbell.
Who is it?
Come on, Nick, open up.
Rayer?
Yeah, open up.
Okay.
Nice night out, huh?
I didn't come to talk about the weather.
Give me a raincoat. Carrie.
Yeah?
Come on downstairs. We got company.
Okay, in a minute.
I want to talk to you, Nick. Not with her.
Okay. Let's go in the parlor.
I ran into Gabe today.
Yeah?
He tells me he's been doing okay.
Hey, you know Gabe. Talks big.
You better start talking big, Nick.
What do you mean?
Your bookkeeping's been all wet.
Who are you going to believe, Gabe or me?
Till I learn different, Gabe.
You've been getting every cent that's coming to you.
I don't like to be held out on, Nick.
The original deal has been lived up to.
Gabe said his kids picked up 43 cars last month.
Gabe is a liar.
The original deal was that I'd also get 50 bucks for every car Gabe's kids picked up. I want the rest of my dough.
Gabe's kids only brought in 18 cars. You got paid for those. I'll show you the books if you want.
I'd believe your books as much as I believe you.
Look, we got a good thing here, Breyer.
Trouble is, it's better for you than for anybody else.
Well, why shouldn't it be? Who goes to all the trouble painting the cars, fixing up the motor numbers, shipping them out of town?
Look, Nick, gonna get my dough one way or the other.
Hey, cut it out. Let go of me, will you?
Playing rough, boys?
Oh, Carrie. Come in.
Hello, Breyer. Haven't seen you around in a long time. I missed you.
This is the last time you'll see me. Now listen to me, Nick. I'm gonna get
Nick.
That. Yeah?
I'm fixing drinks. You'll have to come in the kitchen and open the bottle for me.
Sure, okay. I'll be right back, Breyer.
I'm not going anyplace.
Corkscrews scare me to death.
Okay, don't get into another. What did you offer him a drink for?
To get you out of a spot.
Bad idiot, Gabe. That could wring his neck.
If you ask me, that'd be wringing the wrong neck.
Jerk.
Breyer's the guy that's putting up the beef. Either you pay him off with cash...
You don't get a cent.
Or you just pay him off.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little too smart for this setup. You can't make any money out of the smart ones.
So how are you going to do it?
I'll figure out a way.
Here?
Yeah.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Then what?
We dump the stiff out in the country.
What about Gabe?
Who knows? Maybe we give him the same treatment.
Get the bottle.
Yeah.
Let me keep our customer happy.
Well, how about out to the Pines, Gabe? That's a nice place.
Oh, Carla, baby, I don't feel like driving way out there in all this rain. Besides, the joint stinks.
It was all right when they had that blonde singer out there.
Oh, are you going to throw that up to me again, Carla? I never even met the dame. Just because once I said she looked okay, I'm nuts about her.
Watch it, Gabe. You got a red light.
I see it.
So? Where are you going to take me?
I don't know yet. First, I want to drive over and see Nick for a minute.
No?
Yeah.
For crying out loud, what are you going to go see him now for?
Because I want to talk over something with him, that's why.
You always got something to talk over. Can't you ever do anything without Nick? Always Nick, Nick.
You can come in if you want. Carrie will be glad to see you.
Yeah, well, I won't be glad to see her. How long are you going to be?
Only a couple of minutes, that's all.
I'll wait in the car.
Can't you come
in? I said I'll wait in the car. Go ahead, the light's green.
Dames.
Another drink, Breyer?
One's enough. When do I get my money?
Okay, I'll settle with him. Carrie.
Yes, that I didn't want another drink.
This ain't for a drink. Carrie's the treasurer of the corporation. Carrie.
Yeah, Nick?
Get me $12.50 for Brea.
$12.50?
That's what he said.
Has he got that much coming?
Yeah. Get it.
Well, come on, Brea.
Where?
Where do you think to get your dough?
You give in too easy to suit me, Nick.
Well, I guess he likes you. Don't you, Nick?
All right, Brea, don't move.
Put that gun up. What do you need a gun?
On your feet, Brea.
Look, Nick, you're not doing yourself any good.
On your feet. That's it. Now, don't try anything. Start backing up. Go ahead, back up. Open the door, Carrie.
Yeah.
All right, Brian.
What's down there?
The cellar.
What else?
Can't you guess, honey?
Go ahead. Back down the stairs.
Suppose I don't want to go.
That's no problem.
Shove him.
Now go. Come on, Carrie.
He's out cold.
No good, Kisner.
What are you kicking him for? Do it cleaner.
I feel like kicking him, that's why.
Shoot him in the head, Nick. Make it good and clean.
Sure. Good and clean. Stand back.
Nick.
I hear it.
Who is it, Nick?
How should I know?
We better answer.
You see who it is. Send him away. Don't hurt him.
All right. But you keep your eye on this
one. Go on, go on.
Yes, who is it?
Me, Carrie. Gabe.
Gabe? What do you want?
Want to see Nick.
Nick's busy.
Hi, Carrie. Can I see him for a minute?
I don't know. Come on in. I'll ask him.
You can only stay a minute.
I'll see if Nick will talk to you.
Well, he sure ought to.
Okay, okay. Nick?
Yeah? Tell him I only got a minute, Carrie.
It's Gabe.
Yeah? Come down here a minute, Gabe. Hey, the steps are dark.
Go on, you'll find your way. I thought you'd want to make this a double party, Nick.
What are you doing down here, Nick? Counting your money in the dark, huh?
Over here, Gabe.
Hey, how about a little light?
Turn on the light, Carrie.
Sure.
Oh, that's better.
What happened to him?
Everything would have been fine, Gabe, if you hadn't opened up your big mouth.
What did I do?
You talk too much. You and Brea are going to get it together.
Me?
You heard him.
Nick, please. Nick, I didn't do nothing. I work with you, Nick. You know I work with you.
You got it coming, Gabe.
Nick, I didn't do nothing, honest. Carrie, tell him not to kill me. Tell him, Carrie, will you please?
I'm not saying a word.
Nick, I'll do anything you say, Nick, anything.
Get out of the way.
Nick, you're not going to kill me, are you?
I haven't made up my mind yet. Stand back.
Yeah, sure.
I ought to wait until Brea comes around so he'd feel this.
Go ahead, Nick. Get it over with.
Yeah.
I'll do anything you say, Nick. Honestly.
You talk too much.
Please, Nick, don't. I'll do anything.
Yeah? Think you can get rid of this stiff?
Me?
Yeah, you.
And get rid of the gun, too.
Now?
Sure, now. This ain't any morgue.
But I got Carla outside in the car.
Okay. Take her home, then come back here.
Okay, Nick, right away.
And be sure you come back. If you don't, I'll know where to find you.
I'll be back, Nick. I'll be back. I'll be back in 20 minutes.
That, Don, was exactly how the Gangland execution occurred. The murder itself was over. The task of disposing of Brer's body still remained. That and the gang leader's faith in his control over Gabe led to complications the criminals did not see. Till it was too late.
Now back to Gangbusters. You were telling us, Chief Sullivan, how the gang leader Nick Manta murdered his confederate Brayer and then ordered another underling to dispose of the body.
That's right, Don. Brayer's body was stripped of all identifying clothing, then loaded into Nick's new Pontiac sedan. Gabe was under orders from Nick to report by telephone as soon as he had accomplished his task.
Hey, right, get it, Carrie.
Sure. Hello.
Carrie? Gabe, let me talk to Nick.
Just a second. Nick, it's Gabe.
Is everything going all right, Gabe?
Yeah, Nick. I dumped the load right in the spot you said. The gun, too, right near the golf course.
Good work, Gabe. Come on back here.
There's one thing, Nick.
What?
Now, look, Nick. It wasn't my fault.
What happened?
It was nothing, Nick.
Well, what was it? Tell me.
It was nothing. Just that after I got rid of the load and wanted to drive away, the car got stuck in the mud.
Stuck in the mud?
Yeah, but it's okay. I got away all right.
You're sure?
Yeah, sure. It was a cinch. With a tow truck.
Tow truck? What tow truck?
Somebody help, Nick. Honest, the car was...
Listen, you idiot. You'll be back here in 10 minutes.
Okay, Nick. I'll be there.
Stupid jerk. I know I should have given him the business, too. Dumping a stiff. He gets stuck in the mud. They find the body. They find the tow truck guy. They find Gabe.
So what's the matter with that, Nick?
What isn't the matter with it?
Honey, the cops will think he killed Breyer. They'll have him dead to rights. He was dumping the body, wasn't he? All you have to say is Gabe and Breyer were here. They had words and then they left together. And that's the last we saw of either of them.
Well, what about the car? The garage guy will remember my car, sure.
What kind of a problem is that? You just tell Gabe to take a trip in your car. Then report it stolen. If they don't get him, nobody loses. If they do get him, he fries.
Yeah. You've got a head on you, Carrie. I'll see that Gabe starts on his little trip tonight.
He sure got it going over, Captain. A good beating and 4 shots in the head.
Yeah. I hate to see it start again. We haven't had a gangster ride since Chippy got us.
Well, he sure wanted to get rid of this one, all right.
Yeah, well, if it is a ride, John, be sure to have a record. We'll see what turns up at the fingerprints. Sergeant Mitchell.
Yes, sir.
Stick around until the medical examiner gets here.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Frank. You going to make plastic casts of those footprints?
The lab crew's on the way out. And those tire tracks, too.
Good.
That's a pretty deep hole in the mud there. It looks like the murder car, if it was the murder car, had to be towed out.
You'll put a check in garages?
First thing, Captain.
Well, Frank, I've got to get back to town. I want to check on this gun. You let me know if there's any identification through fingerprints?
As soon as I hear, Captain. See you later.
So long.
This is a fine thing, Gabe. Get your things together. Throw them in a car. Start out. Drive for who knows where.
Oh, Carla, leave me alone, will you? All day you've been at me.
I never heard of leaving in such a hurry. You just don't do things like that.
You didn't have to come unless you wanted to.
And I feel naked without my rings. I packed in such a hurry I even left my rings. That's no way to start in a trip.
How many times do I have to tell you your rings will be there when you get back?
How can I go any place without my rings?
I wish you'd have stayed home and sent your rings.
That's the way you feel about it, Uncle Beck.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. You're going to stay a while in Richmond?
I guess so. I got some business there for Nick.
Going to wire my landlady to send my rings there?
No.
Oh, please.
I said no. Nick don't want nobody to know I'm out on this trip. Nobody.
Captain Bailey speaking.
Lieutenant Frank, after we got an identification on that murder victim.
Oh, good.
The fingerprint showed up. He's Joe Breyer. Has a record for car theft.
Breyer, huh?
That's right, Captain. He was handled a little while back. Suspected of being a part of that car theft ring, but Auto Theft Bureau couldn't make anything stick against him.
Is there an address on him?
He's got a room down in Brooklyn.
Okay, pick me up, Frank. We'll go by there. Maybe we'll turn up with something.
Well, go on, Carrie. What else?
Wait till I turn the page, Nick. Here, the two boys ran across the body as they were walking across the rain-soaked golf course.
Mm-hmm.
A .25-caliber automatic of Belgian make was found nearby. Police would not say whether this was the gun that killed Breyer until ballistics tests were completed.
Well, so far, Carrie, so good.
I can't make up my mind, Nick. Whether I'd like to see him catch Gabe driving your car, or whether I'd like to see him get away.
Well, either way, Carrie, it doesn't make any difference. We're in the clear. That's the important thing.
Mm. Yeah, but there's only one thing about this. Getting rid of Breyer is okay. Gabe, too. But it kind of puts a crimp in the organization. We can't make dough out of stolen cars if we haven't got people.
Don't worry about it. We'll get new people, better people. Cops are getting too close to Breyer and Gabe anyway. We got lots of cash. We're sitting pretty. Don't worry about it.
Okay, Nick. I'm not the worrying kind.
Well, Captain, we found the garageman that hauled that car out of the mud near the spot. It was Sunday night. Green Pontiac sedan, two-tone, brand new.
Good work, Frank.
And he made a note of the plates. The car is registered in the name of Nick Manta. Reported stolen Monday morning.
Nick Manta?
Rings a bell, huh? Well, it ought to. The auto theft boy's been trying to hang a stolen car deal on him for months.
Ah, I thought I recognized the name.
Yeah, Captain. Seeing that Brayer had a record as a car thief.
Okay, Frank. What do you say we go out and see Mr. Nick Manta?
I'm ready.
Let's.
Okay, just a second. What do you want?
I want to talk to Nick Manta.
Well, what do you want to talk to him about?
Open up to our police officers.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Come on in.
Thanks.
Nick?
Yeah?
You got company. Cops.
Who are you?
I'm Carrie, Nick's girl.
I hope you gentlemen have come to tell me you found my car.
Yes, Nick, that's one thing on our minds, your car.
That's too bad about Brayer. I was going to call you.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, maybe I got some information for you guys.
Every little bit helps.
Brayer was here Sunday night.
The medical examiner thinks he was killed sometime Sunday night. Or Monday morning.
There was another one here, too. Gabe Miller.
Two of them work for you?
We had dealings.
In the stolen car racket?
I'm a legitimate garage man. You can't prove nothing different.
Yeah, we'll try. But for now, what about your guest Sunday?
Well, they got pretty drunk, didn't they, Carrie?
Uh-huh.
And the next morning, my car was missing. I reported it.
Yes, I know.
Well, then I read about Brayer. Gabe hasn't shown up since. Then tonight, I noticed a gun I had around the house was missing. A Belgian automatic.
25 caliber?
Yeah, that's the one. I figured Gabe took it, took my car, and killed Brayer. Isn't that right, Carrie?
That's what he figured.
Yes, I suppose that's about the size of it. Why didn't you report this information sooner?
Well, you know how it is, Captain. Nobody likes to get mixed up in these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lieutenant, let's go.
Captain,
come on.
Yes, sir.
We're sure glad we were of some help.
You're not planning on taking any trips, are you?
Oh, no. We'll be right here.
It'll be a good idea. You can never tell when we might need you again. Just stick around. Come on, Lieutenant.
Bye.
We're not going to leave those two on the loose, Captain.
For a while. But get men on them and keep them in sight. And in the meantime, Frank, get descriptions out on the car and Gabe Miller. Also, I want a complete report on Gabe's contacts around town.
Right.
Attention, all points. Description of car believed driven by man previously described. 1946 Pontiac sedan, painted green, two-tone. New York license 3P5612. All departments requested to be on alert for this car and detain occupants. Notify Chief of Detectives, New York City. Captain Bailey.
Brian, Captain, I've been checking up on Gabe's girlfriend. She left on a trip Monday.
Huh. Gabe needed company.
Well, listen to this. Her landlady got a wire from her this morning. She left some rings here. The landlady should mail them to her.
Where?
The Suites Hotel, Richmond, Virginia.
That's our break, Frank. How would you like to go down to Richmond instead of the rings?
Captain, I'd like it fine.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now back to Gangbusters.
Gabe, let's go see if there's any mail.
Mail? Who do you expect the mail from?
Nobody, I guess. I'd just like to look anyway.
Ah, forget about the mail. Let's go have some breakfast.
Okay, I'll look in there later.
We don't know a soul in Richmond. Nobody knows we're here and she's looking for mail.
Hey.
What?
You didn't send for those rings after I told you not to.
Gabe, I just had to have them.
Well, no good. I ought to break every bone in your body. Come on, I'm getting packed and getting out of here. Come on. I should have known better than bring you along.
That's far enough, Gabe.
Hey, who are you?
You're under arrest. Going back to New York. Charge is murder.
Hey, now look.
Come on. Get your things together. You're going back to New York.
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting so long, Mr. Manta. And you too, miss.
Oh, we didn't mind. Did we, Nick?
Oh, no, Captain. We can help, okay. Brea was our friend.
Yes, well, I've just finished questioning Gabe in my office.
And he admitted the murder?
No, quite to the contrary. He accuses the two of you.
Us?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And he's sticking to his story. He said you shot Brea in the cellar of your house and forced him to dispose of the body.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Sounds that way, doesn't it?
If I was the killer, do you think I'd let a dope like Gabe in on it? Do you think I'd report my car stolen?
Well, you've got a point there. Would you mind stepping into my office?
Oh, sure.
This way, please. Gabe's in there.
Oh, that rotten heel.
I'll have to ask you to control yourself. I don't want a disturbance.
All right, Captain. For you.
Nick.
Sit down, Gabe.
There they are, the dirty double-crosses. They did it.
Quiet, Gabe. Would you have those chairs there, please?
Of course.
Thank you. Gabe, Nick, and Carrie deny all your accusations. And I'm afraid that at the moment, I'm inclined to believe them.
They're lying. That's all they do is lie. I'm telling you straight, they killed him.
Excuse me. Certainly, Captain. Captain Bailey.
Frank, Captain. We're all finished out here.
Oh, what'd you find out?
We tore the cellar drain apart, Captain. The test showed everything you thought it would.
Good. Come back into the office and make out a report.
Okay, Captain. So long.
Well, as I was saying, we've got the case washed up. I'm going to ask the district attorney to file formal murder charges.
Hey, you see, Gabe? You do something like this, you pay.
I'd like to get my hands on you, Nick.
No, I'm afraid you misunderstand. The murder charges will be filed against you, Nick, and Carrie.
Who are you kidding?
You see?
Yes. While you've been waiting out in the reception room, my men were out at your house. Traces of blood and human hair showed up in your basement drain. Brea's blood and hair.
Now, look.
Shut up, Carrie. I've got an explanation for everything.
No further explanations are necessary. If you have a story, you can tell it in court.
So, Don, the criminals were tried and convicted of first-degree murder. Nick was sentenced to death in the electric chair. Carrie was given life imprisonment. Gabe was convicted as an accessory.
Thank you, Chief Sullivan, for giving us an insight into how police conduct a murder investigation. And Gangbusters, congratulations to all the police officers who were responsible for bringing these murderers to justice. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by Ted Corday, with Ann Burr and Frank Reddick in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking.
From sometime in the 1950s, it's been Gangbusters with the Golf Course Murder. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week at this very same time and invite a friend to listen. Together, enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those exciting days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you so. Do 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 radio. I miss you so.
The preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions. All rights reserved.
to slip around to be together, dear. Slipping around,
afraid we might be found.
I know I can't forget you, and I've gotta have you near.
But we just have to slip around and live in constant fear.
Oh, you're tied up with someone else, and I'm all tied up too.
I know I've made mistakes, dear,
but I'm so in love with you. I hope someday I'll find a way to bring you back to me. And I won't have to slip around to have your company.
Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District, home of Tide Academy, the peninsula's leading school for technology, innovation, design, and engineering.
meant for you. Major Patton knew, and when she was done, you were all the sweet things rolled up in one. You're like a plaintive melody that never lets me free. For I'm content, the angels must have sent you, and they meant you just for me.
With Matt Taylor, Sunday mornings at 9 Pacific on Big Band 89.1 KCEA, the home of the big bands.
Thank you. Bud Pearson, host of The Swing Era, where you'll hear the bands and the singers of that exciting time of the 30s and 40s called The Swing Era.
Saturday mornings at 9 Pacific on Big Band 89.1 KCEA.
Make sky seem blue again. What else can I do again? I keep on repeating again and again, I love you, I love you. I still recall the thrill, I guess I always will. I hope 'twill never depart. Dear, with your lips to mine, a rhapsody divine, sing when the strings of my heart.
to see my broker, find out what he can do, 'cause I'm in the market for you. There won't be any joker, with margin I'm all through, 'cause I want you outright, it's true. You're going up, up, up in my estimation. I want 1,000 shares of your caresses too. We'll count the hugs and kisses when dividends are due, 'cause I'm in the market for you.